moving forward with confidence. So ahead of us now stretches another year, as yet unknown, 365 days of possibilities. None of us know what's coming next. Although we probably have some plans, I suspect. We have some hopes and some aspirations about this new year of our Lord, 2023. What do you think is the best way to approach the future? One step at a time. One step at a time. And that's the idea in this, perhaps the best known verse in the entirety of Psalm 119. That's the key idea. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In fact, this verse is really a summary of the entire theme of this longest of the Psalms. It comes in the N or none section of this acrostic psalm, where the word at the start of each line in each section begins with the same letter in that section, in this case the Hebrew letter N. And the word feet in the original language is actually in the singular. It's the word foot. So literally the verse would read, your word is a lamp to my foot and a light to my path. And so beautifully this psalm conveys the idea of guidance every step of the way, one foot at a time, moving forward. I mean, imagine that you're walking at night, it's dark, it's cloudy, and you have a torch that shines a pool of light in front of you. And that pool of light then enables you, as you place one foot after another and move forward, to stay on the track. That's the idea that's being conveyed in these few words. But without a torch on a dark and cloudy night, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to negotiate obstacles along the way, fallen trees, rocks, floods perhaps. And without a torch traveling on a dark and cloudy night, the possibility and probability of you getting lost is very high. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There's some background spiritual truths that lie behind those words. This world is a world of darkness. John in his gospel says, men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. And that, in very simple terms, is why this world is such a mess. Because people love darkness more than light. Not just other people, but naturally all people. We all naturally have a tendency towards darkness, not light. And so the spiritual environment in which all people live their lives is like a very dark place at night under a thick, cloudy sky. And secondly, the word belongs to God. It's his word. He is light, and in him there is no darkness. And so scripture, the word of God, is like a light beam that shines forth. And the word of God comes from God, who powerfully illuminates what otherwise can't be seen. That's how it was in the beginning. God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God is the creator of light, physical light. He is the author of a spiritual light. And apart from God, all is darkness. And that the word of God as light illuminates those who will come to its light and lead them to God. And so the Bible is like life-saving light, guiding a weary traveler along a road to a place of shelter. And so the psalmist here, he's not walking physically along a bush track at night, but he's a pilgrim who's walking as we are through this world. And he's heading, he's directed towards a final home in the new heavens and the new earth, which is described in the Bible as being a place where night will be no more. The new heavens and the new earth are described as a place of light, They, God's people, will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And so the remaining seven verses of this short section of this psalm teach us about the pathway which the light of the word illuminates for those who would dispel darkness as they travel forwards. This is divine wisdom which teaches us how to move forward with confidence. And I suggest to you this morning that we and everybody else in this world needs to have that confidence to move forward in this dark world. So we're going to look at this pathway under three headings. Firstly, commitment to Christ. Secondly, relationship with Christ. And finally, security in Christ. So firstly, commitment to Christ. Now, I asked someone last week what they were reading at the moment. And their reply included a plan that they had, a reading plan to read a particularly thick theological book, Calvin's Institutes. And if you've ever seen a copy of Calvin's Institutes, it's the kind of book that's very useful for pressing flowers. It's got quite a lot of weight in it. And it's the kind of book that if you don't have a plan, you're probably not going to make it through to the end. It's like War and Peace, probably. You need to have a plan to make steady progress through. For myself, I'm hoping to compete in some longer running races this year, and I know that I need a good training plan, because if I don't have that, I'm unlikely to do well in reaching my goals. And I wonder what goals you have for this coming year. How will you start the journey towards meeting those targets? Well, firstly, and this is very obvious, you need to know what you're heading for, what your goal is. Secondly, you need to plan the best way to get to that goal. And thirdly, you need to stick to the plan if it's a good one. And spiritually, the best plan for you and for me in this new year is to stay on what John Bunyan called the King's Highway. The King's Highway, making a reference to Isaiah 35:8. And in this psalm, the psalmist has committed himself to stay on the pathway, on the Lord's track, if you will. He's actually bound himself with an oath to do so. Verse 106, I've sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. Why does he need such a strong statement of personal commitment? Because the wise person knows that we all have this tendency to drift off track. The wise person heeds those words that we heard from Proverbs 4 earlier. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor the left. Turn your foot from evil. Why this strong statement? I've sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances, because the psalmist knows that Satan desires to distract us and pull us, if you will, or attempt to take us off track. For this psalmist, Satan has been using human enemies to threaten him with harm all the way through Psalm 119 up to this point. This references have been made. Princes still sit plotting against me. That's verse 23. The insolent smear me with lies. Verse 69. The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. Verse 85. The wicked lie in wait to destroy me. Verse 95. He's feeling the pressure of this dark world upon him, as we all do at different times and in different ways. I'm severely afflicted, he writes in verse 107. Give me life, Lord, according to your word. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. I'm constantly at risk from my enemies. And in fact, here's the thing, when we walk with the Lord, and many of us know this, when we walk with the Lord, opposition increases. The pressure to get off that track increases. And behind each human enemy is the devil. And the scripture reminds us that always our struggles are not ultimately against people, against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness. And Satan intensifies his attack when we bind ourselves to follow the Lord. And so the psalmist is under pressure in this psalm, and yet he's still on track because the light of God's word shines on the path. And this is the amazing grace of God, that he keeps people like us on the track of blessing. And he promises that we won't ultimately be lost when we trust in him. This pressured pilgrim is depending for his life on God's word, and he's sworn this solemn oath. He's committed himself. And vows of heartfelt commitment are pleasing to the Lord. There's a time in the Old Testament under King Asa when Israel entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and soul. And the scriptures record that they made an oath to the Lord with a loud voice. They swore with their whole heart to seek him earnestly, so the Lord gave them rest on every side. The best commitment that you and I can make today is to seek the Lord with our whole heart. In New Testament terms, this psalmist is a man who's depending upon Christ, the living word. He's committed himself to Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior with a binding vow. And it seems to me that broadly speaking, the age in which we live in the 21st century in the Western world is an age where people avoid commitment as much as possible. Many people, when asked if they're going to attend something, will say, well, maybe. I think I'll keep my options open. Something better might come along. Many in our society don't marry. They just live together, which is no longer considered to be living in sin. Or they delay commitment to each other. Thankful that Cormac and Tirza are not like that. They committed themselves to one another early in life. There's a blessing in Christian marriage, as many of us will testify. And one of the greatest blessings of Christian marriage is this commitment, until death do us part. Jesus said of a married man and his wife, so they are no longer two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. The binding nature of a wedding vow has preserved many a marriage in churches like this. Also, some young people are reluctant to bind themselves through commitment to a local church like this one. They stay loosely attached, never taking a personal vow of membership. But our psalmist here has no such hesitation about personal commitment, declaring, I've sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. And that oath of the psalmist could be put into the same words of Jesus Christ in Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. Of course, Jesus is the one who walked this pathway of light perfectly, keeping the righteous ordinances of God, never straying to the right or the left. And so if you and I are wise, we will bind ourselves to Jesus Christ like a weaker person yoked to a stronger one, that he will keep us on track. He's the good shepherd. He's promised to lead those who will follow him and show them the way of holiness. And so let me encourage you to commit yourself afresh this year to following Jesus Christ. And to do that, we need a relationship with him, which brings us to our second point, relationship with Christ. You probably know in its basic wisdom that the world has recognized also if you are going to have and maintain a relationship, you need good communication. That's marriage counseling 101. Listening, speaking carefully, confirming understanding of what's been said. And the principle applies to our relationship with the living God. We need to be in communication with him. And that's exactly what we find the psalmist has, active communication with his covenant Lord. He pleads in Psalm 119, verse 108, accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. This is a conversation between the psalmist and God. So what do free will offerings of praise mean? Well, free will offerings in the Old Testament were sacrifices that were spontaneously given. They weren't required, but they were offerings which were freely given from a heart of devotion to the Lord. And those free will offerings were used in the Old Testament times materially to build the Lord's house, the temple, when the exiles returned from Babylon. And so words of praise, free will offerings of praise, build up the church spiritually. And it's interesting that those offerings are individual here in the psalm, and yet they're in the context of congregational worship. A motivation to sing when we praise the Lord. One of the great blessings of standing here at the front is I get to hear the singing of God's people. When we join together using the instrument that the Lord's given to us to praise his name, we're communicating with God in relationship with him. That's exactly what the psalmist is speaking about. He's asking that God will accept these free will offerings of praise, that he will be pleased with them. But how can God be pleased with the prayers, the praise that we offer up, when we know that we ourselves are less than righteous? That's where Jesus Christ comes in. God receives our praise through Jesus Christ, his Son, because his Son Jesus is in a perfect relationship with his Heavenly Father. And so because the beloved Son is acceptable and fully pleasing to the Father, so we who are united with Jesus Christ by faith are acceptable to God as worshippers. By grace, the worth of Jesus Christ becomes our worth, credited to our account. And because of Christ, we're able individually and collectively to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. And this is the miracle of the gospel. That people like you and me, with our faults and our failures, can be acceptable to God by grace. That's the good news of the gospel. Not based on anything we do, but based on what Christ has done for us. Hear the desire of the psalmist that the Lord would speak to him, "Teach me your rules. I want to learn. I want to be instructed." And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Hearing the voice of Christ illuminates the way. And so an encouragement to us all this year to continue to listen to the Lord as he teaches us, so that we may move forward with confidence into the year ahead and have security in Christ, which is our final point. This pilgrim psalmist in this psalm, he's a wealthy man, not measured in dollars or material assets, but by grace. He's been given a gift of the highest value. "Your testimonies," he writes in verse 111, "your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart." He has these testimonies, the records of God's works and ways, as his precious possession. Now, in the Old Testament time, God's people were promised a possession, an inheritance of land from the Lord in the land of Canaan. Israel forfeited her right to that piece of real estate, but all who are spiritual descendants of Abraham have an inheritance in Christ that will last forever. And having that inheritance is the cause of great joy. "I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart." And verse 112, "I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end." And that word inclined, it conveys the idea of reaching out, of extending your heart out for these testimonies and statutes. And so as the psalmist talks about forever, the word forever, he's expressing this confidence about the permanence of the future. And can anybody else really, apart from Jesus Christ, apart from faith in him, realistically confess any confidence about the year to come? But we can, because we know that God has all things in his hand And he has promised that all who bind themselves to him by faith, he will not let them go. And so walking by the light of God's word is the pathway to personal security in Christ, a calmness of soul and heart and mind. And we all desperately need that. And Christ alone provides it. So come to Christ again. Come to Christ. He alone enables us to find the way forward with confidence. He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Jesus Christ does not lie. He is truth. So you might have a variety, and probably do, a variety of personal goals for this year. And you might write them down to help yourself commit yourself to working towards them. And some of these mini goals can be helpful in life, maybe some less so. But most important is the goal to move forward in confidence in Jesus Christ. Most important is to seek to do the will of the Lord and to keep your eyes fixed on Christ. That is the most important thing. To walk with Jesus Christ every day so that every step, every decision, every word, every thought is directed according to his word. This is the best way to live life. It's a pathway of personal commitment to Christ, relationship with Christ, and security in Christ. And my prayer for you and myself this year, in the coming weeks and beyond, is that we can say together with the psalmist from a whole heart, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen.